Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Welcome to The Check-In, the show that where we talk about all things mental health as far as with men, but also we talk about other things that apply to everyone. So Rodney King asked a very important question in 1992. That question was partially answered. Well, it was answered, but the same question applies to us as Black people. But there's also an additional question there too. So we're going to build and grow. So we're also going to try to answer these questions. But before we do, take a look at this. When we talk about what a trailblazer is, it's usually associated with the words pathfinder, pioneer, or vanguard. So how about we add change agent to that? Welcome to Trailblazers Radio, a unique podcast platform that speaks about a myriad of subjects. We are not afraid of opening closed doors, and we always tell it like it is, period. We are accessible on various social media platforms such as YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also accessible on various streaming audio platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so much more. It is our mission to ensure that you are educated, entertained, and edified. And we thank you for tuning in to us. All right, so now that introduction is out of the way, as I stated before, welcome to Trailblazers Radio. More specifically, welcome to The Check-In. This is a show that we talk about all things mental health related as far as when it comes to men, but we also dive into other things as well. First and foremost, I want to thank you guys so very much for joining us and being here with us tonight. First of all, it means a lot to us. It means the world to us. So we thank you guys so very much for being here tonight. And we thank you for liking and sharing. We thank you for liking and sharing our content on all our social media platforms. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We are also on X, formerly known as Twitter. We also have a Discord. We also have a Discord server up. I'm working on getting some content over there to Discord. So I'll make sure that information is given to you guys as soon as I possibly can get that to you guys. But without any further delay, I want to introduce the individual that's here with me tonight. And I'm going to bring her up here in just a moment. This young lady I consider a very good friend, but also someone who is also showing me the ins and outs of a business, how to effectively run my business, but also showing other people how to run their business with her social entrepreneurs initiative, to which I am an esteemed and honored member of. And I cannot say enough good things about this young lady right here. She is the CEO of the Campus of Care, a very, very widely known initiative which speaks to the social determinants of health with women, but mostly speaks to women as far as maternal health as well. But I'm going to let her tell you a lot more about who she is. So I'm going to bring Miss Dana McKellar and Taka up into the stage, and then we're going to get this thing started. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Thank you. So I know I gave you an okay introduction, but let everybody know who you are and what you do.
Excellent. I am Dr. Dania McKellar Ntaka. I am the founder of the Campus of Care Global Healthcare Corporation. We are a public health and clinical research institute, and we are focused on creating healthy outcomes for women and children. As a maternal child health professional, I have spent the past 29 years serving women in a variety of ways. I've worked at various medical schools up and down the Eastern Seaboard, from Temple University, University of Pennsylvania, to Johns Hopkins University, where I have been in the hospital, as well as out in the field collecting health data on women and children. Thank you.
That's a lot. You do a lot for the community as well, especially for maternal health and maternal and child health. So first of all, we thank you so much for being, for taking the time to do that, to be a person to do that. But also, Dan, I thank you for taking the time to be here with us tonight. And we're going to tackle this thing, and hopefully we're going to come across some solutions. But before we even jump into this thing, I want to preface what we're talking about with this one thing. And for those of you who are a little bit younger than me, than myself and Miss Ntaka, I'll kind of lay a little bit of groundwork with this. So during the third day of the LA riots in 1992, Rodney King asked a question, a very powerful and very poignant question. That question was, can we all get along? Now, the question that he asked pertained mostly to how race relations were during that time. And it was a very powerful question. And there was somewhat of an answer, but not necessarily. But the same question that Rodney King asked in 1992 applies to us as Black men and Black women in 2024. But there's also an added question with that. In addition to why can't Black men and women get along, the other question I want to ask, and now hopefully me and Ms. Ntaka will answer, is why can't we build with each other? So without any further delay, let's jump into this. Let's get into this. I know that when we talked about this earlier last week, there was a lot of things that we kind of talked about a little bit briefly. And one of those things was the continued effects of slavery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And how that still is very prevalent even to this day. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Very good. Let me start out by saying that even when we are speaking from our opinion, as a person who has worked in medical academia for all of my adult life, I was trained that even our opinions need to be based in facts that are verifiable.
Mm-hmm.
But that having been said, when I speak with a lot of statistics, a lot of research data that we as medical scientists use. So when you talk about the vestiges of slavery, that's a word that I really love, the residuals, the after effects.
Mm.
Those effects can be seen in every area of human endeavor. And while it seems like second nature for me, I get a lot of feedback from people of all races, but many times Caucasians, who say, well, that was so long ago. How can you say that you're still being affected? But let's go to the numbers. When you consider a work like Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois' work, we know he had a PhD in sociology from Harvard. He taught at University of Pennsylvania, my alma mater. And in his book, his thesis was converted to a book, and he talked about the monetary amount that America, as well as Great Britain, profited from 12 generations of free labor. We know, those of us who are in business, we know that payroll is a debt that the employer has to pay the employee. Imagine running your business and never having to pay anyone. Mm. So you are way up here and your employees are way down there. So when you think about all of the years that our grandparents, great-grandparents worked and did not receive pay, we can see that today. How can we see that today? The maternal mortality crisis. Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in child labor than any other race of women. That maternal mortality rate goes right back to the 1800s, to the slave trade. when you look at rates of incarceration, rates of illiteracy, even the slave codes, the black codes, right after slavery, when we were quote unquote freed, freed to what? There were laws that stated you had to have a pass to go from one place to the next. If you didn't have a job, which you didn't have any skills for the particular jobs, except for the plantation jobs, then you could be jailed or you could be fined. So those are how the effects can still be seen. Does that mean that we should just roll over and not try? That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that we don't have accountability, but it simply means two things can be true at the same time. Yes, we can do things to help ourselves, and we have. We are an amazing group of resilient people. And still, the other thing that can be true is that there are many after effects of slavery.
A lot of them. I mean, I think when we think, when I think about it from that instant, from that effect of it, I also think about the propensity of black males being targeted more often than white males. Now, I want to preface this again with this thing. This is not a white versus black thing. We're not making it that. This is just two people talking about why we as black people can't get along with each other and why we can't build with each other. But in order for us to get to that answer, we have to start from where it all began, where the beginning of it, where the indoctrination and where the effects start from. One of those things is slavery. We've been put in these places to be inferior at all times from those days up until now in some instances. And that inferiority complex follows us even to this day, to where we have to overcompensate to be better than our Caucasian counterparts, and even in some cases to try to be better than our brothers and sisters. So when I think about one of the reasons why we can't get along, why we can't coexist in the same plane as brothers and sisters, that's one thing. You know, the effects of slavery is one thing that I think we're still reeling from this day, because again, you know, I think when people say they don't see color, I call BS on that, because how can you not see color when my skin color is different than yours? And again, I'm not making this a black or white thing, but what ends up being obvious is something that's always been there. I'm not sure if that's something you can agree upon or not, Miss Ntaka, but that's where I look at it from.
Well, I'll start by first, you have a couple of different questions going on there, and I want to address them one by one. The first thing that I want to say is that my position is that we do work together. When someone says, why don't Black people work together? I vehemently disagree that we do not work together. You can never say, you should never say all. We should say some or many. We can't make blanket statements in mathematics or medical science and be correct. You can say, when women say all men are dogs, that's not true. All men are not dogs. Some men are dogs. Some women are dogs too. So I heard. So I believe that we get along. Now, do we have some difficulties? Yes, we do. And you mentioned the origins of those difficulties. See, as we study, I study history the same way I study the Bible as a preacher's child. I believe that we need to study the law just to walk up and down the streets in America. America has shown us that. And you said, we're not making this a black or white thing. We don't actually have to make this a black or white thing.
Right.
The founders, quote unquote, of this country stated their position. They made it a black or white thing. So we don't have to take that responsibility. Right. So do we get along? I have an amazing group of Black people that I work with. I have an amazing group of people of all races that I work with. But I want to go back to the plantation and talk about how we worked together, even on the plantation. And everyone's going to tell you that Black people are always bickering. And yes, there was a culture that was established on the plantation. Think about the numbers. First of all, no Black person should ever call themselves a minority, because we are not the global minority.
Right.
Almost 90% of the world's population. So I reject that term. And every time I can tell people that we shouldn't be using it, I do that. So when you're on a plantation, historically, there was a slave owner, his wife, and let's just say they had three children, two white overseers, and 50 slaves. How did six or seven people keep 50 people in line? Let me tell you why. Let's look at the average diet, the breakfast of a slave. A little piece of fish called a herring and some oatmeal. You guys like oatmeal? Imagine oatmeal between two leaves toasted on a fire. So an oatmeal cake and a piece of fish. Now, Mr. Peter, you are a pretty nice sized guy, right?
Yeah.
the average adult weighs 150 pounds. You and I are on the plantation together. We're serving time on the plantation.
Right.
You get a piece of fish and an oatmeal cake, and I get a piece of fish and an oatmeal cake. We're both going to be hungry, but you may be more hungry than I am. So psychologically, when the slave owner or the overseer wants to find out who's planning to escape, and they come to you and they say, you know, we have a biscuit over here with some butter and some orange or peach marmalade. You're in Georgia. Got some peach marmalade. Would you like to have this biscuit? So our own physiologic needs were used against us. So that is, as you mentioned, some of the origins of that. Now, does that mean that we still didn't get along? That's not what that means. Look at all the slave revolts where they had to be working together.
Right.
When we were on the slave ship, see, we were incorrect in thinking that we were all from the same nation. There were Igbo, there were Fulani, there were all different people. As the ships were coming around the Horn of Africa, that West Coast, they were picking up people from all those coastal towns who spoke different languages, who had different practices, different customs. But even then, they knew how to do a slave revolt and make an attempt to turn that ship around. So we have been getting along. What are your thoughts on that?
We have, but when it comes to that, when it comes to us I'm trying to get my thoughts together. When we talk about why we can't coexist with each other, I think it comes to more of a respect thing, an honor thing, or even better yet, a simple getting along with each other. I mean, what I've looked at and what I've seen and heard in some of these podcasts, some of these interviews and stuff like that, it's so adversarial.
True.
Black men versus Black women, and it shouldn't be that. A good friend of mine had posted today on social media that the simple fact that we believe this Black man versus Black women thing in 2024 is ridiculous, because it should never be about one versus the other. But yet we make it some of us make it about the other person. Some of us make it me versus you, or man versus woman, or man versus man, or woman versus woman. And that's where I look at it from, because you're not better than me because you're not making six figures. You're not better than me because you don't have this many, because you don't have this, that, or the third. And everybody saying that stuff is based upon material stuff.
Well,
some of us don't even care. I don't even care about material things. Some people can afford a $200,000 car. That's cool. I mean, and for me, I'll be like, kudos and clap my hands for you. Congratulations. Happy for you. But am I going to be envious of you? No.
You know, I, I, I respect what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I still go back to, we have to dig and we have to search and we have to ask the question of why. How did certain things come about? So let's talk about this gender divide, this sex, the battle of the sexes, as I call it. How did that occur? We didn't make that.
No.
In slavery, we were together. We were sneaking from one plantation to another against horrendous odds to work together, to get a hug, to get a kiss, to have intimate time. Frederick Douglass's mother ran overnight from one plantation to another to rock her child, the 5-year-old Frederick Douglass, to sleep. We were working together against all odds. But let's talk about how this divide happened. Let's even go back to, a man didn't really even have autonomy over his body. He certainly could not have autonomy or jurisdiction over his family's body. The slave owner could come into the cabin and say, Fred, get out of here. I'm getting ready to be with your wife. And we couldn't even marry legally. We just hopped the broom. We just partnered off, because you didn't marry off your pigs or your cows. And to this day, the Constitution has never ratified the clause that states that we are 3/5 of a man. So the was instituted by the system. I have to always, whenever I talk, I'm going to talk about the great psychiatrist, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, third generation physician from Washington, D.C. Father and grandfather were both doctors. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing came up with the Cress theory of colors. It was a book called The Isis Papers, The Keys to the Colors. It wasn't a book as we think of books. This was 20 papers that Dr. Welsing wrote when she was doing her psychiatry residency. All of her conversations are about race relations. All of the years that she treated Black people in psychiatry, she came up with a premise that stated, racism is a mental illness and all other mental illnesses are based upon that. That was her theory. But the theory that's most important to me from a scientific point of view is the fact that she honed in on Mendel's law. Mendel's law is the law that talks about recessive genes and dominant genes. So what happens with Mendel's law is, if you have a Black cat and a white cat and they have a litter, you're going to have this 9-3-3-1 ratio. You'll have the majority Black cats. And then you'll have some Black and white speckled and a couple of gray and one lone white. And the only way that you can get another white cat is if you mate that white cat with another white cat.
Oh, man.
So calling yourself a minority is against science. And when people even say white supremacy, we are constantly reinforcing this negative propaganda against us. When you say white supremacy, I say to people, you have to preface that with phony white supremacy, fictitious white supremacy, imagined, farcical, whichever word that you want to modify it with. We have to stop using words that are against ourselves. So
exactly.
How did my original, I don't want to digress too far with the science, but how did we begin to fight against one another, this us against them? Let's take it to the 70s. Let's take it to the 70s when the Black man was in the house and the social worker came after the FDR and all those guys. We're in a financial crisis and welfare was instituted. So now with welfare, they said, Mama, we can give you some milk and some diapers and some monetary bills. We can give you some notes, but you can't have him in here. There has been a concerted, the numbers do not lie. Yes, thank you, Critical Conversations with LHG. I get really excited and passionate when I talk about this. And I don't want to take over, Mr. Beattie. I'll just put a pin in it right there. I hope you understand where I'm going, that this was not accidental. This was a wholesale campaign to destroy the Black family. And it has worked. When you look at these negative conversations today, this us against them, these kids that are in their 30s and 40s. And I think we're old enough to affectionately call anybody under 40 a kiddo, because we've We've been supporters. Yep. And we used to be kiddos ourselves, maybe to our parents who are in their 70s and 80s. We're still kiddos. But yes, we have to address this and stop this, because what happens is, back to Dr. Welsing, all of the chaos that we see now is that some people say is keeping us from working together. The real minorities, they're safe. The whole divide and conquer is working.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And to kind of amplify your point about, you know, back in the 60s with the welfare and the social worker thing, that to me, and I look at, when I think about that and I look at that and I see that was one of the more destructive things that happened to us as a Black nuclear family. You know, well, we can give you all these things, but here's the catch. Your husband or your child's father can't be there.
Right.
So when we look at that part of it, and that now you're separating Black. Now you're separating Black fathers from their daughters and their sons. And now that creates this single motherhood thing. And that creates a single motherhood thing. Now we're introducing the family courts and court system into this, and now you're introducing child support and alimony and all those other things that have been destructive to us as well. And I look at that and I say, well, my goodness, what else needs to happen for us to understand that some of these things are designed things to put us at an extreme disadvantage, but also understand that some of this also hinges on our choices as well.
Absolutely. As I stated earlier, I don't want anyone to think that I am absolving our people of responsibility. We need accountability systems. In the Social Entrepreneurs Initiative that you mentioned, we hold each other accountable. I say all the time, I make mistakes. I don't know everything that there is about business. Business is constantly changing. But accountability is key.
Yeah, very much so. And just like LSG just said, you know, you take the Black man out of a home, and that's how you handicap, cripple, and destroy the strength of families.
Yes.
Because I don't know about anybody else. And this is me. How I look at this. I grew up with both my parents in the household,
yes,
my mother and father. And I enjoyed having two parents in the home. I had the motherly nurturing figure, which was my mom, but also had the stern yet fair figure in my father.
Okay.
I learned how to be nurturing to a person, but also learned how to be stern yet fair from both my mother and my father. So there are traits that I picked up from both mom and dad because I watched how they interacted with each other.
Yes.
I watched how they communicated with each other. I watched how they did things with each other in playful and serious manner. When it was serious, it was serious. But when they were playful, it was playful. And I could see the love and the care and the concern that they both had with each other. And I saw the respect that both my mother and my father had for each other, you know, and that's the thing that really has rubbed off on me, to see because I see how they treated each other throughout their marriage. And that's the thing that I want to emulate as a younger man, but also later on as I got older, and also in my own marriage. So, and I guess I want to say this part of it, but I just don't know how this is going to come off, though. One of the things I will say is this. Ladies, and I'm not saying this to be mean or anything like that. For me, this is just a complete and total observation of mine. the American feminist movement was a movement that you as Black women should not have even had a should not even have had a seat at the table at. And I say that with all love and all care and all concern. The reason that I say that is because when those women of other races and other races stood up on their soapbox to make whatever demands they wanted to make, when they got off their soapbox, they went back home to their boyfriends and their husbands and things and those people. Unfortunately, some, not all, y'all stayed on the soapbox and twisted it into some ridiculousness. And I call it ridiculousness because that's what it is, you know. I understand the plight, and I understand the thing of equality. So I understand that part of it. So that's something I won't refute. But that was a fight that y'all shouldn't even had a dog in. Y'all should have left that alone at the moment. Y'all should have left that alone. It's again just an opinion of mine, but it's not fact.
Knowing, and it's a great opinion. I agree with you on that, but I call myself a womanist more so than a feminist, because I can tell you, I like scholars like Rachel Elizabeth Cargill, who is a public scholar. I believe she left her doctoral program because of some of the intense racism or whatever reasons. She felt like she was more needed as a public scholar to just go out on the lecture circuit. But one thing that Cargill says is that white feminism is a polite and ladylike version of white supremacy. It's like white supremacy with lipstick on, a handbag and gloves. and let me just say this. I need to clarify this because as a medical scientist, I speak a lot about genetics. I speak a lot about embryology, reproductive health, and reproductive rights. And someone may misconstrue my intense scientific knowledge as me being biased against white people. And that is not the truth.
Right.
What I am is I am Pan-African, which means I don't separate myself from the plight of my brothers and sisters around the world. And this is my area. This is my wheelhouse. When you begin to talk about bias in medicine, race-based medicine, like the Tuskegee experiment that was exposed to the public when I was 8 years old. So that's the backdrop of my childhood. I was traumatized as a child. My father being a minister, my mother being an advanced practice nurse, Dr. Shirley McKellar, I was in a position to where I said, you know, this is not right. This happened in Alabama, but I took that personally. Two states over, it could have happened in Texas. We have been under attack, not only in this country, we've been under attack in our own ancestral homeland and around the world. So it is imperative that we figure out a way to get along. I'm not willing to say Black people don't get along. Do we have some problems? Yes. But the answer, in my opinion, to many of our problems is knowledge. We're not reading the way we used to be. And I'm not talking about calling words. We have an illiteracy problem in America. But when we know our history, when we know the how and the why, then we can make those corrections. But I totally agree with you. We need all hands on deck. Black women, Black men, Black cats, Black shoes, Black dogs. Our LGBTQIA brothers and sisters feel like they're not welcome in the Black community. They talk about homophobia in the Black community. And I say, a white person who is gay can decide, today I'm just going to be white. But see, we are going to be Black every time we wake up. We have to be careful which movement we join.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as feminism is concerned, until white feminists are concerned about Tamir Rice, until they're concerned about Sandra Bland, I find white feminism to be rather hypocritical. Thank you.
Very, very much so. And that brings me to something that I really want to kind of put out there too. When you mentioned Tamir Rice, you mentioned Sandra Bland, I'm going to add more names to that. Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Walter Scott, There's so many people, so many other people that we could put out there. And one of the things that I looked, one of the things that I look at, even with the death of my child that was due to a police involved violence, I see when these things are put out there, and when we see these things that happen, of course we're going to protest and we'll march and we'll do all these things. I think one of the things that you said to me that that really had me thinking is it's a quote of that Martin Luther King said about what protest is. And I thought about that. And one of the things that I thought about, we can do all these protests. We can protest as much as we want. And we can march as much as we want. But until the protests and their marching bring about some sort of change, we're still going to be in the same scenarios. And those scenarios are always going to repeat themselves with fatal consequences.
Mm-hmm. Very good. If I could say something with my colleagues who are Caucasian, with my good friends, whether they are anyone who knows me knows that I put myself through school flipping old property. So I have lots of real estate friends, lots of landlord friends. Many of them are white. The same way that I'm talking to you, that's the way I talk to my friends who happen to be white. Mm-hmm. And so I am quite consistent. If you wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to speak this same way. And I have great respect from my friends of other races because they know that I am an advocate for our people. And my work, it's not our job to educate people. We have access to a ton of knowledge. They can read the same books that I have read, but they trust me. So I have educated my white friends on books like Dr. Welsing. I have read to them pages from Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois' book because they have to go home to their family reunions, to their Sunday dinner tables, to their Friday night card games. And if they are taking some knowledge, that's a good thing. Just evening the playing field where, you know, that when they say, oh, I have some Black friends, I have that one Black friend, but do you really have a Black friend? Meaning, do you really know how they feel? And one of my dearest real estate friends who has gone to bat for me when I was having some lawsuits, if you're going to be in business 10 or 15 minutes, someone's going to slip and fall on your property. There is always going to be a battle. So if you don't want a battle, then you don't want to be in business. So this one particular year that I was having probably the biggest battle of my life, this man really went to bat for me and said, you know, this is an ethical lady. I've had great business dealings with her. He was a witness for me and I was triumphant. Fast forward a few years later, about 3 years ago, when the reparations conversation happened, he said, you know, kiddo, you know, I think you're a great kid. And, you know, I just don't know about that reparations thing. Like, explain that to me. Like, how are we going to figure out who gets the reparations? And it occurred to me what Dr. Umar Johnson said. It's true that you may have pockets of Caucasian friends who do great things for you, but collectively they see, hi there, Kenyatta.
Hey, Kenyatta.
They see the reparations issue as, whoa, you know, that's going to be, how's that going to happen? Is that going to take away from my wealth? And I just need to say, mm-hmm. while we're here talking about reparations, no one is giving us anything. This is not a gift.
Nope.
This is 12 generations between 350 years of chattel slavery, approximately, add 150 years of Jim Crow Reconstruction going forward. This is money that is owed.
Mm-hmm. but then that becomes a debate, whether or not it's something that should or should not be bestowed. And I'm with you at this point. I mean, it is owed because, I mean, when you count up the years, and there are hundreds of them, hundreds of those years. I mean, you can't wipe this over with a I'm sorry.
You cannot. And I tell you, a great group of friends of mine, they're out on a racial reconciliation gospel tour, which I think is it's beautiful. That's lovely. But if you and I get into a legal dispute today and you decide to sue me or I decide to sue you, what is the one thing that squashes the debate and makes it all go away? What does the judge say when they hit the gavel? You owe her $2,500. Next case.
Yep. Of course.
Judgment goes against you. Without a transferring of an amount, even if it is symbolic,
mm-hmm.
No one taught us church girls what the feminist movement really was. I am learning much of our culture through Dr. Dana. Oh, thank you, Critical Conversations with LHG. The Christian church turned a blind eye to real life issues. Ooh, LHG has me over here shouting tonight. And our parents and our grandparents, sometimes they're really uncomfortable with this talk. And then we have to look at our children. Each generation seems to be, the Bible says we become weaker and wiser. Man, I mean, that's why I love our podcasting, because we are addressing issues that the nightly news, they're only hitting at. I'll give you a case in point. Y'all, I study these people, so please bear with me. Dr. Claude Anderson, like they're in this brain. Very good friend to my mentor, Bishop Harold Faust in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. And they're both getting up in age. Dr. Anderson is, I believe, 85. But he wrote books 30 years ago. He was the head of the Department of Education in Florida. And if you watch any of his clips on YouTube, he talks about quid pro quo, that when Senator Strom Thurmond would come to him. Imagine Strom Thurmond having to go to a black man to say, hey, I need you to sign a check. What Dr. Anderson did was he said, you need something, I need something. He said, I need 5 or 6 black judges going to the courts. We have to ask for what we want. You don't get what you deserve in life. You get what you negotiate for. But Dr. Anderson is an expert on finance, in particular reparations. There's another name that you should know. That is a lady by the name of Queen Mother Moore. Queen Mother Moore spent her entire life being a champion for reparations. When the conversation came about again in the height of the pandemic, we love our actors and actresses. We love Danny Glover. We love Taraji P. Henson. We love Ta-Nehisi Coates, the journalist who wrote the book about reparations. When I think about going before the Senate, going before people who don't feel like you deserve the money, who feel like if America gives it to you, that their wealth will be diminished. You have to bring out the big guns. Why didn't we bring Dr. Claude Anderson to the table? Because sometimes we don't do the right things. And sometimes we just need to say, I'm sorry, and just repent and then turn away and do the right thing. Dr. Anderson was not invited to that conversation for whatever reason. I know a lot of people think he's over the top because he is forceful. He is unapologetic.
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, I agree with you on that wholeheartedly. The thing, and I think one of the things that why sometimes we can't build with each other is that there's a lack of understanding, okay. A complete lack of understanding of, you know, where that person is in that particular time and space. And just because I'm down at this particular moment, don't mean I'm going to be down all the time, but that does not give another person the right to say that I'm broke, that I'm poor, that I lack this and I lack that. I may not have it right now, but give me a moment. I need is a moment and an opportunity.
That's right. It's just a cash flow shortage, which is temporary. Broke to me is permanent. You'll never hear me say anything about being broke.
Right. And that's where it comes from, because you only respect my status. You won't respect me as a person, you know, as a human being on this planet. But if I have a specific status, of course you'll respect that. You'll respect that to all high, to and then some. But my status shouldn't be the thing that you respect, that you respect. It shouldn't be, because that status can be removed from me at any given time.
We can all fall from grace. That's correct.
And people look at that like, and the one thing that I've said on more than one occasion and on more than one platform, look, if we're going to build with each other, if we're going to truly build with each other, first of all, we need to determine what type of ground we're going to build on. Are we going to build on stable ground, or are we going to build this house on sand? Because if we build it on sand, it ain't going to stand up. So we need to determine what ground we're going to build on. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're making me have a thought here. Why can't we get along? That's the topic for the night.
Right.
We need to be okay with knowing that everything is not for everybody. Some of us are too damaged to move forward. Mm-hmm. With. Harriet Tubman would shoot you if you tried to go back and spoil her mission. You know, if you run back, the dogs are coming. They're going to kill us all. So I'm okay. I know that not everybody is going to be able to come to the Campus of Care and participate in one of our programs. We're a small boutique style research institute. Our primary work is going into the homes of women, making sure that they have a pregnancy care manager. Do they have a sick child nanny? Do they have a doula? Especially a postpartum doula. The birth is just one snapshot in time. Mm-hmm. But that 1 year period that we are at risk, where moms are breastfeeding, the dad's at work, husband's at work, or mom is sliding down the stairs, one baby's in the crib, she slides down the stairs with C-section incision. Women are at risk of hemorrhaging, bleeding. It's not good. So the work that we do in the homes is of most importance. And the other services that we offer all point back to that service. So I would be foolish to think that just because a woman needs training, that she's going to be a good fit for the Social Entrepreneurs Initiative. We That's know right. that we need money to be able to afford our health care. I almost beg and plead people on social media, come to the classes on Thursday nights, and we're going to be changing those nights again. It's summertime. People are going to be doing Thursday through Sunday day trips. They're going to the beach. They don't want to come and sit in the class even in the wintertime. But we are no longer begging people to come. I watch people run through all of their savings, building a business, when they can incorporate and build that business, make that company fund itself. I'm not going to get blue in the face. I'm okay with knowing that we are not a monolith. There's more than one way to be Black. There's more than one way to be a woman. So here's what I really am trying to tell you, is that working together looks different for everybody.
It's very subjective.
We can be unified without necessarily being uniform. Somebody may want to wear a relaxer, and I like to wear my curly afro. It's okay. We can still come to the table and agree on, like Malcolm X talked about, all of the things, the common ground. He said, put your religion in your closet. Religion has been one of the largest dividers of our people. Can I say it again? Religion has been one of the largest separators and dividers of our people.
Say that again. Because I don't think people in the back heard that.
Religion has been a large separator of our people.
Big time.
And I love the Lord, and I go to church all the time. But let me tell you, I can go to the Catholic Church. I can go to the Pentecostal Church. I can go to the masjid, to the mosque. I'm going where my people are. Who shall separate me from the love of God?
Nobody.
I got a whole twist on it. Nothing is going to separate me from my people. If you and I fall out, Mr. Beattie, I'm going to find a way for us to not fall out for long. Let's talk about
exactly.
it. I was wrong. You were wrong. We both were wrong. We both sorry. Let's get it together and let's work together. I'm radical when it comes to working with our people, but I know everybody can't work with me.
Man, look, and the thing about that, the church thing, this is where the rubber meets the road, because there are a lot of things that the church has never really addressed. Now, mind you, And I'm going to say this again, mind you, and I've said this before in a previous podcast, mind you, there are some great organizations out there that are out here doing, that are out here boots on the ground doing the work. It's when it comes to social justice and things of that nature, and also addressing mental health issues in both men and in their congregants. But then there are also some that don't do that at all. And it's those that don't do it at all, don't do those things at all, is to who I'm addressing, because those are the ones that help create the divide. Because now we create an atmosphere of, I'm a Christian, I'm better than you, or I believe in the Lord better more than you do, and you don't. So that makes me a better Christian than you are. What are we talking about, and what are we doing? We claim to love the same God, right? So what makes you a better Christian than me if we both love the same God, we worship him in a different way?
I'm just telling you, there are so many scriptures that talk about how debating is not good. It's not the right thing to do. When we look at ministers and men of God and women of God openly debating in a public space on social media, how are we going to get the world, as we call the people, the unchurched is the term that I like. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get the unchurched? I need to get my glasses on so I can see what LHG is saying. How are we going to get the unchurched? At the end of the day, if a person has not given their life to Christ, they are going to always find holes. Where's your foundation and what are your intentions? I start there. But to me, I want to clarify that we're having two different conversations when we talk about our people getting along, building together, the mm-hmm. topic for the night. Some people, she's Pentecostal and this one's Baptist over here, so they can't work together. The people who came before us urged us not to do that, and we're still doing that. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a religious conversation, I'm not going to debate anybody with religion. I am so focused and so busy on my scripture every day. There's an influencer that I follow, Connie Loren, and she is pro-traditional marriage. And she talks about how many people of God are talking about the crystals and the meditation and the yoga is not right. But I think the statistic is like 67-70% of Christians are having sex out of wedlock and before marriage. And she's like, okay, I'd rather see someone spread eagle doing a yoga pose than to have these people participating in premarital sex. So I think people pick which religious tenet that they like best. Mm. If someone is a gambler and they cheat on their wives, then they're mad at the people who go to the club and dance. My wow. sin is not greater, it's not lesser than your sin. So I just don't spend time examining other people. The Bible says, so let a man examine himself. So my day is fully composed of me keeping myself together and those that I'm responsible for. So I'm not the person to call when you want to gossip. I'm not the person to call with the latest tea, because the latest tea, I'm getting my people ready for the disaster. And we do right. have disasters that are on the way. So do I want to work with people who gossip?
Not no,
really. Not really. Pastor T.D. Jakes says that they're all broke because they spend all their time tearing people down. And I'm not throwing the gossiping people under the bus. I'm just being funny. I have a bad sense of humor, y'all.
but I get it. It's just, I think when all these debates and stuff that are on social media, especially on like a lot of these podcasts, you know, and then also something LHG said earlier, like all these reality TV shows, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, all these things, it throws out the negative connotation of who we are. And it doesn't speak toward the positive. But then again, I can kind of, I won't even say give a pass to that, because that's entertainment.
Well, I agree with you a little bit and I disagree with you a little bit. Let's talk about the why. When you look at vintage pictures of our grandmothers in the 1950s, they were pristine.
Right.
Hair done. The cleavage not showing.
Right.
We didn't go to the mailbox unkept. There's money to be made with our girls swinging on the pole. There's money to be made with being a housewife in any city and being catty and showing that negative, even, I don't want to call any of the names, even those that are based on women who are professionals. It does not show us in the greatest light. So that's called propaganda.
Very much so.
To 100 years from now, when the great, great grandchildren are looking and saying, what were they doing back then? These women were fighting. I remember when reality TV really happened, when it first started with that show that traveled around the country and it had the young people living together. What was it called? The Real World?
The Real World.
Yes. So I remember when reality TV kicked off. I love documentaries. I'm not even really much of a television watcher. I'm a bookworm. But when you're paying people to be foolish, to act like a coon and a buffoon, see, all money is not good money. That's what the old people used to say. So, but see, let me ask you this, LHG, can they call me and say, we got a $200,000 check for you if you get on there and bicker and fight openly and publicly with women? Would I sign up for that job?
No.
Because I know how to earn a living and keep my dignity. So let's talk about ethics and dignity. We've gotten away from some of these words, some of these conversations.
Ethics and dignity. So two things I think that have been completely thrown out of the window.
Wow.
You give up your ethics and dignity for a paycheck. Then you may have, I compare that to jumping into a pool in the shallow end of a pool head first, knowing that the pool is shallow, and you're gonna jump in head first anyway. Why would you throw your ethics and your morality, and Kenyatta just mentioned the other thing. Integrity. Why would you throw these things out of the window for a paycheck?
Yes, that's right.
One of the things that I think we should all kind of keep, if we're gonna build and we're gonna get along with each other, we have to draw a line, a very hard line in the sand when it comes to our morality, our ethics, and our integrity, and our dignity. None of these things should be for sale.
Yes. I agree.
None of these things should be for sale. None of these things should even be at the negotiating table. Because number one, my ethics, my morality, my dignity, none of those things have a price. You can't pay me enough to even go away from my moral character, my dignity, my ethical character. You can't pay me enough for that. There's not enough money in the world for me to even violate those things. But yet some of us do that on a daily basis, all for either for a paycheck, for clicks and likes,
for
attention.
Yes.
And the moment we do that, that lets people know where you stand in that part, that particular thing. Now, you say some people will say that, hey, my moral character is intact. Well, if you had to sell your morality for a paycheck, then your moral character isn't intact.
You know, social media is interesting in that there's so much information there that is helpful. There's information that you may not be interested in and we may not find useful, but as a scientist, it's my job to observe. We find cures for diseases by participating in the scientific process. And sometimes I just browse and I just look, and I fool the system sometimes by clicking on something that I don't like so that it'll send me more of it. So when you see the children who are using lyrics, like I remember my grandmother in 1984, I'm a senior in high school, and my grandmother refers to MTV as the sex channel. And she was ahead of her time because she saw Madonna's material world creeping in. She saw us getting further and further and further and further and further away. And now look at the content. Now look at the slithering on the floor like a snake and doing all the gyrations as if you're in the bedroom. And that's art and entertainment, and that's music. And our toddlers are watching it. And the toddlers can make these movements.
What are we teaching our children? That's the other thing that I think we have to kind of think about, because if we're gonna get along with each other, we also have to think about what we're leaving behind. What is it that we're leaving behind for our kids? What is it that our children are going to inherit from us when we leave this physical plane? What will our children inherit? Are they gonna inherit the same questionable value system that some of us have adopted? Or are we gonna teach them how to better get along with each other, how to properly build with each other by using integrity and dignity and respect and honor and loyalty and fealty? What are we gonna leave behind for our kids? Because if we leave behind the opposite of what I just mentioned, then each generation after that is doomed to failure.
That's right. Well, thankfully, we are leaving time stamped bookmarks, and people will be able to find us. And I just appreciate the work that everyone in our crew is doing. We are making a positive impact on our people, and we have so much more work to do. We're young and vibrant, and we have a lot of work to go.
The work's this. I'm gonna tell y'all, like, and she just meant the work. There's a lot of work to be done, and we're far from this house that we're trying to build is far from being complete. Man, what a conversation. Professor Dania, I so appreciate you coming on with us tonight. This has been like,
these are
the type of conversations that I enjoy. These are the type of conversations that get me hyped up and get me encouraged. We need to have more of these particular type of conversations, because they just don't happen.
Yes. I thank you for inviting me, because you've been on our platform numerous times, and I think this is my very first time being on your show. So I really appreciate you. And I do want to come back and plan to come back. You and I have another something in common. Mm. We are both grieving parents.
Yes.
And that's another conversation that we really need to have. There is a lot of work to be done. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I'm about training more laborers. We love you guys too.
Oh, thank you, Kenya.
She says, I always feel lifted when watching you all. Thank you. And it's always a sunny day when we see you out in the audience.
Appreciate you. Look, and again, I want to thank you, Ms. Dania, for being here and just having this wonderful conversation. There's several more conversations to come, but I think this is the one that should start it, honestly speaking. And before we go, I want to leave you guys with this one thought. Well, I'll take that back. Professor McKellar, do you have any closing thoughts before we close out?
Yes, I do. I want to go back to our title, Always Take It Back to Home Base, Rodney King, Can't We All Get Along? While he was being beaten, we can get along. Let's continue to educate each other. But what I want to see us do, charity begins at home. I want to see us get along with each other more, be open to listening. It's okay for people to be different. Diversity is real, and it's beautiful. And again, thank you for having me here, and I'd love to come back.
Oh, you're more than welcome to come back. Su casa, mi casa, su casa.
All right.
So I want to leave you guys with this particular thought, and this is something that Professor McKellar said earlier. We don't have to be uniform to be unified.
Yes.
When I think about that statement, it makes a lot of sense, because everybody thinks that we have to be all in one accord and all in one page.
Clones.
To be unified. That's not true. That's not true at all. We can come to common ground. That common ground can come from a variety of sources. It comes from a variety of thought processes. It doesn't have to be the same thought process. As long as there's common ground there, unification is always a possibility.
Right.
We don't always have to march to the same step. It doesn't always have to be left, right, left. It can be right, left, right, or whatever. But as long as we are in there, as long as we come to that middle ground, which is that common ground, we all share that one common ground. Unity is always a possibility with that. And in order for us to get along, we have to realize that we have to reach that common ground first. We can't say we're unified and we don't come to common ground. We got to come to that middle place, which is where the common ground is. Figure out what makes us similar. And then work from that point forward, because everybody on this planet is different. Every black man, every black woman on this planet is different. But we all share this. We all share commonalities. Work from the commonalities and then branch forward, because I don't have to march to the beat of your drum. For me to rally to your cause.
That's true.
If I see your cause is a just cause and a righteous cause, I'm going to be drawn to that automatically. That doesn't mean I have to march to the beat of your drum. I can still rally to your cause and support your cause in my way. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn to get along with each other, coexist with each other. This has to go beyond social media, has to go beyond the social media tropes that's always being broadcast to us. Like Professor McKellar said earlier, that's just propaganda. Mm-hmm. Those are just things to prop everybody up, make somebody put you in a thought process. And just like LSG said earlier, our roots are very, very rich. We don't realize how rich they are.
Right.
And that's something I want. That's something myself and Professor McKellar want you guys to think about tonight. And for the rest of this week. As we go into this Mother's Day weekend, you know, think about our commonalities.
Yes.
Of course, our differences are what's going to make us different. But think about what our commonalities are. Can we rally around our commonalities to bring about a righteous change? Not a forceful one, but a righteous one. One that is stemmed in dignity, honor, morality. So those are things I want you guys to think about as you go into this Mother's Day weekend and as we all honor our mothers. You know, the ones that assisted in bringing us into this world, right, along with our fathers. So I want you guys to think about that. But also make sure you guys tune in on Friday for LSG's 49th birthday. Woohoo! This is going to be a vendor showcase. Make sure you guys come out to support small businesses and enjoy a great conversation. That's the fun. Yeah. The fun with that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 4 p.m. That's 4 p.m. if you're on the West Coast. That is 6 p.m. on Central Time. So make sure you guys come out and celebrate with that. Also, make sure you guys check out the Campus of Care on their various social media platforms, Instagram, they're on YouTube, they're on Facebook. Check out the great things that Professor McKellar is doing with the Campus of Care. And also if you are an entrepreneur, please, I implore you to join us in the Social Entrepreneurs Initiative. This has been a great experience for me as someone who's building a business. The things that I've gotten from Professor McKellar and the knowledge and the encouragement that I've gotten from her has been bar none. And it's I guarantee you that when if you come into this initiative, I get you will come away, number one, enriched, but also empowered. And also just you have a lot more knowledge than you thought you had while coming into it.
And we want to help you to make some money, because you can have a lot of knowledge and we want you to apply that knowledge. We are helping our people to place their businesses on the map. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse, that money answers all things. So we don't want to just fill you up with theory. We want to make you some money too.
Practical, not only theory, but practical things that you can actually put in practice for your business. Now, if you guys are interested, now, as Professor McKellar said earlier, we're going to be moving that meeting
Monday nights. Yes,
we're going to be moving that to Monday night. So if you are interested in that, make sure you reach out to Professor McKellar on her social media platforms if you're interested in that. She's not a difficult lady to find on social media, because she posts all the time.
She's not
a difficult lady to find.
So my daddy used to say all the time, now tell me again, little girl, why you posting so much? You know, we live in a different time, daddy. Listen, this is how we have to run businesses today.
Exactly.
Do you know that the banks are looking for your social media links? It's really a lot of times, well, Facebook, they're all paying now. So if you're getting $60 or $70 or $200 a month, kudos to you. But the banks want to know that you're not fraudulent. They want to know that you're actually running a business and not just an expensive hobby. So on the different grant applications, on the different loan applications, they're asking for your link. So when I say that I'm running the Campus of Care, they need to be able to go and see, okay, they're posting tips for how to cure your social determinants of health, where you work, where you live, do you have access to fresh food? So you can go back many, many, many years and you'll see we've been posting.
Thank you. Oh, you're very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this episode of the Check-In. We are all over social media, Facebook, Instagram. We also have a YouTube channel. Make sure you guys check out our channel. Take a look at our content. If our content resonates with you, do me a favor, hit that subscribe notification, hit that bell notification. That'll let you know when we always come on up on this microphone and this camera. We are also, our content also streams on X, formerly known as Twitter. Wow. And once I get this Discord server, and once I figure out this Discord server and how to get integrated with YouTube, we will also be on Discord. So we're in a lot of places. And we're trying to get a lot of things done and get a lot of things in place. We also have a website, www.trailblazerradio.com. Make sure you check out our website. We put past episodes there. This also gets you a chance to meet myself and my host, as well as, you know, take a look at some of the content that we have and things of that nature. So
great.
Again, Professor McKellar, thank you so much for being here. I am so appreciative of you, and I thank you for this conversation. This is the first of many conversations that I would love to have with you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take you guys home with a song by Mookstar Dash. The name of the song is called Therapy. We love y'all to life. We love y'all to live. And as I always say, when we end these podcasts, first of all, take care of each other. Number two, love on each other. And last but not least, we all know it's a crazy world out here. So please, above all those things, y'all be safe out here, man. Y'all be safe out here. Have a great Wednesday night. Have a great Thursday and Friday. And also happy early Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You guys deserve it. You guys go come this Sunday. You guys go have, make sure somebody does something for you that day, whether it's just a phone call or a card or whatever. As long as make sure that your children honor you on that day. All right. We love you. We out of here. See y'all in the next one.
Good night.
Good night.
I'ma give myself congratulations because I made it. I'm on a whole new dimension. These miracles on top of blessings. Tell your followers to mention. You never get through. People change, seasons change. The levels raining all on you. It gets better from here. Ah, it gets better from here. Favor looking good on me. No pressure, it's time to seek. Therapy. Oh, it's okay to have therapy. Therapy. Ah.